Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're listening to Singapore's most influential radio station, and you're in the breakfast huddle this Friday morning with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. Bit of breaking news this morning.
Yep, and we're going to see how that moves markets. This news comes out of Australia. They are under increasing cyber attack from a sophisticated state-based cyber actor. The words of Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
Yeah, he's saying it's hitting a range of sectors from government to industry, political organisations, education, health, essential services, etc. Critical infrastructure, basically.
Yeah, so this is pretty much what investors today are waking up to, pretty much make sense of what's happening in the markets. And according to an independent think tank, three names have been mentioned. This includes China, Iran, and this is going to be interesting to look at. How will this affect markets? Let's get a bigger picture from Binay Changothia. He is the Managing Director and Portfolio Manager of Principal Global Investors. Morning, Binay. How are you doing this Friday?
Great. Good morning to be on the show. We're doing great. Early morning, a lot of excitement.
Yeah, been a lot of excitement, and we have quite a few things for investors to digest today. So overnight, we had stocks struggling to find direction, but this morning, a lot for them to think about and digest, and markets off to a mixed start. Binay, what do you make from this latest headlines? You now have Australia under a cyber attack from a state-owned actor. How much do you think this is going to affect markets trading today?
Well, not a great deal, because details are still not there, right? The Australian Prime Minister announced basics about what he perceives to be a state-sponsored attack on its key services. We need to wait for details at this point in time. The market has reacted a little bit, but not a great deal. And unless it has, deep economic or political impact from what they find out, ultimately, we don't expect this to be a major event.
Okay, somebody keep track of as the developments unfold. Binay, turning our attention to Hong Kong, we have been seeing a couple of headlines, and of course, this includes the secondary listings that have been taking place there, and this includes JD.com yesterday, and you had last week NetEase, both of them doing quite well. Is this a sign that market appetite is there for IPOs, for secondary listings, and retail investors are really chasing for that next big thing?
Well, we think that the entire new technology sector of companies from China who are currently listed in the U.S., a lot of them will come back to Hong Kong because of a natural affinity of investors towards Chinese stocks. And there are conditions which were put in place last month by the U.S. authorities for the right reasons, which might force them to delist themselves from the U.S. and list here. So we think that that process will, over the next few months, we'll see a lot of these companies list in Hong Kong. Chinese onshore investors, who are a big driver now to the Stock Connect route, they really don't have much of an opportunity to invest into these stocks till they list in Hong Kong. But with the Stock Connect, we expect them to invest increasingly into these stocks. And it also has a fairly noticeable impact on the composition of Hong Kong indices. For example, Hang Seng Index is primarily a financial sector index with more than 50% in financial sectors. But over time, we expect Alibaba, Tencent, Baidu, all these companies to be added to this index. And when that gets done, the index will have a very significant new technology look to it. It'll become more growthy than value-oriented that it is today. And we think that it'll become an important part of the investment world for investors in these parts of the world.
Yeah, Binay, looking at the Hong Kong market, one thing that comes to mind is also the Hong Kong dollar, US dollar peg. So that's been around for 36 years. And of course, it's under the spotlight recently because of what's happening between the US and China. And of course, the US threatening to revoke the special trading status for Hong Kong. With that US dollar peg potentially under threat, how does this play out? Are investors worried? Do they need to be worried?
No, I don't think the peg is a threat unless the authorities in Hong Kong want to de-peg from the U.S. dollar, which is not our base case anyway. Look at it this way. We have a monetary base which is about $210 billion. Against that, the exchange fund has assets above $450 billion. So technically, they could easily redeem every bit of Hong Kong dollar issued against the U.S. dollar should demand arise. So on the other hand, we see increasing flows into Hong Kong using the listing of these ADRs from the U.S. to Hong Kong markets. Therefore, we actually see a lot of inflows into the city. Now, we know that the Hong Kong dollar is trading on the stronger side of the peg band. In fact, HKMA had to intervene 3 weeks back to maintain the peg. So the conditions are actually on the other side, where Hong Kong is getting a fair bit of liquidity right now. And we do not really think that the peg is going to be under stress.
Yeah, Binny, just to wrap things up, we have been looking at the markets in the past few months, seeing quite a bit of rally after the market sell-off in March. Where do you see markets going from here? Is there still upside after such a strong rally, or is it too expensive right now? Where do you think are the sectors that investors should be looking at right now?
Yes, indeed. The markets look optically expensive, having made a V-shaped recovery from the lows that we hit in the fourth week of March. So the big question is, what happens to growth and the earnings trajectory and the course of the coronavirus from here on? There are some signs that you are getting a recurrence of the virus, some increased cases in some states in the U.S., a little bit of a negative news in China. The important thing here is, what is the response function to a slight increase in the number of cases? Is the response function going to be a complete shutdown like we had earlier, or is it going to be contained measures localized in areas where you see a spike and the rest of the economy, the rest of the world goes on as usual? And we think that the tilt of the policymakers will be towards the latter. They cannot afford to shut everything down. On valuations itself, we know that earnings have been cut quite dramatically this year, reflecting the deepest decline we've had in economic activity for several years. Now, earnings will be lagging, clearly. Bottom-up analysts will wait to see the impact, will wait to assess the speed at which economies reopen. Therefore, you will have this period for the next 3 to 6 months when markets look optically very expensive, other than cheap markets like Hong Kong and Singapore. But the critical thing on the earnings part will be the trajectory that you expect once we've made a recovery. And that's going to be important. If analysts get the comfort that the recovery is well and truly on track, we'll sustain these expensive valuations. And then the final thing on this equation is that there is tremendous amount of liquidity. You know, there is more than $1 trillion of assets and money market funds in the U.S. You know, the Fed, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, they are still stimulating more. So this liquidity needs to find a home, and we think this will drip into asset markets gradually, till such time as the monetary policy or the fiscal policy action changes. At this stage, it's still expensive. Therefore, the markets, which have rallied so much, will consolidate at current levels, test out the base case assumptions, and then move on. And we think they've headed higher, given the fact that our base case is that recovery does set in into the third quarter globally.
Very good point. Liquidity needs to find a home, and we need to watch the earnings trajectory. Binny Changotia, he's the Managing Director and Portfolio Manager for Principal Global Investors. Binny, thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a great weekend in advance.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.